listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, what up, what up, Canes fans? It is the Forza Up Podcast coming at you. It is Friday, September 4th, and we are 6 days away from the start of Miami Hurricanes football season. It's your boy, Marsh, and as always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, it's a three-day weekend. We're less than a week away from Canes football. How are we feeling?
Dude, life is better right now than it's been in a long time. And for all the reasons you just said, three-day weekend, you know, we're going to hit the pool, grill with family for Labor Day. We got a Miami Hurricanes game in like 6 days. Just can't get much better than this, man.
I have to remind myself that we are actually this close, like, to doing, like, to the season. And it's still just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
This off season, it's been long as hell, but at the same time, I feel like the last few months have just flown by.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been both. You know, at times it feels like it's been super fast, but then there's other times, and I don't know, man. I was talking about Tiger King with my brother today, and I was like, can you believe that Tiger King was during quarantine? It felt like that was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, like that draft show that we did, that seems like light years ago.
It does.
I never saw Tiger King. Is it good?
Yes. Well, it depends. Like, I could see how people don't like it, but it is like the trashiest human beings on earth. And when you think that they can't get any trashier or ridiculous, they do somehow.
Hmm.
It's very funny though.
But yeah, like, I heard it's just crazy.
It is. It's absolutely insane. And the dude that it's about is like, he's like one of the most interesting, peculiar people I've ever even heard of in my life. He's a freak.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I heard it's just nuts. I mean, so I've been like sick as a dog the past few days. And I've been binge watching Ballers. Nice. And the first two seasons are so good.
I was just going to ask, have you gotten through season three yet?
I am I'm watching it right now. I'm like 2-3 episodes into season 3. And it's just like with the Rock's in Vegas, and it's just not as good as when they're all in Miami.
Agreed. That's when I stopped. I think I was 2 episodes into season 3. You know, and I was watching them the night they had come out every week.
I mean, and the thing is, The Rock is far from the best, far from the best person in that show. Joe Crutell, is the funniest. I love that actor.
Yeah, he's funny. He's really funny.
And I feel like this season, like, you don't see as much of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Joe is hilarious. I think Ricky's very funny. But now, like, he is like, they're expecting a kid now, and like I said, The Rock's in Vegas, and that Vegas guy who plays Wayne Hastings is just awful. He's horrible.
Yeah, he is.
Like, I don't get it. But I had to watch, and I had to start up a new show because I can't keep rewatching Entourage and Curb Your Enthusiasm. I had to get a new show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely give Tiger King a spin. See if it's your thing. You know, it might not be, but like, a lot of people really enjoyed it. You know, I really enjoyed it just because it's fascinating that there's people that crazy on our planet. And then, dude, I mean, you know how much I love The League and Blue Mountain State. Those are like two of my favorite shows. So,
yeah, I never got into Blue Mountain State. I watched the first season and then I was like, eh. Yeah.
I think the second season is its best. But if you didn't like the first season, then you might not like the second season either. So our guest is ready. But before we bring Gabby in, let's give our shout out to Stickers by AB. That's our guy, Adrian Bastolfi. Dude, he's amazing, right? I mean, we work with him for all kinds of graphic design stuff, and his stickers are clean, dude, and they're all Miami Hurricanes inspired. The Twitter account is at stickers with a Z at the end, STICKERZ by AB. Make sure you check that out. Definitely support our guys in Canes fam. Yeah. So hit up AB.
Yeah, AB does incredible work, and he's just a great guy. He's working on a few things for us right now. We should have some merchandise ready to drop at the end of the weekend. So give AB a follow, and also give Fours Up a follow on Instagram. It's just at Fours Up Podcast. And yeah, got some good things going, and let's get our good friend Gabby on.
Gabby, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Gabby, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. Just enjoying my Friday, getting ready for some high school football, some Miami Heat basketball. Big night ahead.
Absolutely. Wait, so is there games being played in Dade tonight?
There's not games in Dade, but we got a couple commits. We got Malik Curtis that's playing at Bishop Verroe. He's got a game tonight, and we got a live stream there. We also got Thomas Davis up in Lounge, and I'm going to probably be clicking back and forth between those two live streams while I watch the Miami Heat basketball. Just kind of juggling a lot tonight.
Hell yeah. I love it. Should note that I saw Gabby a few weeks ago. Me, him, and his brother Callie, we went and got some wings at Shenanigans down in Hollywood, and in my opinion, they're the best wings in South Florida. I know I got you hooked on them.
You did, man. I mean, I'm a big sports grill guy. I've actually hit Flanagan's down here a couple of times for, you know, the Wing Wednesday, and Shenanigans is just simply better. I mean, it's far as heck. I probably wouldn't go if it wasn't just to hang out with my guy Marsh. But otherwise, you know, they're definitely the best wings I've had down here. I kind of want to go back, but I also don't want to make that drive. So kind of conflicting there.
When I move back there in November, that's just an excuse for you to come down, man.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. That's going to be the spot.
Hell yeah. Okay, so before we get into Green Tree and the UAB game, wanted to ask your quick thoughts on Chase Smith. He committed to Miami last week. I'm a big fan of him. It looks like we're going to be playing him at striker. Plays both ways in high school. What are your thoughts on him, Gabby?
I mean, I'm really, really high on Chase Smith. I think that he's a perfect addition to, you know, whatever it is that Manny Diaz and Blake Baker want to do with their defense. I mean, you're kind of seeing with the way that they're recruiting, it's almost like it's really almost like they're going positionless. You know, you see it a lot in basketball that, you know, teams are kind of adjusting to like the pace of play and all that stuff. And it seems like defenses are really going to have to get more creative and more versatile with the guys that they throw out there, because with this whole like wave of the spread offense, you can't just have your traditional like three down linebackers out there. You know, you need to have guys that are able to cover, that are able to get into the box, make a tackle, be physical, and also just be able to do a lot of different things well in order to combat like the speed and the pace that we're seeing so much on offense. So I think Chase Smith is exactly what the Hurricanes need. I think he's perfectly fit for that striker position just because he is so athletic. You know, this is a guy that Lincoln Riley wanted to go to Oklahoma to play wide receiver. So, you know, this is a kid that's really good at a lot of different things. Miami feels he's best fit for defense. I would definitely agree there with that evaluation. And I'm just really intrigued to see what he's going to end up doing. Just the fact that we're going to have a 6'3", 6'4" Chase Smith on the field at the same time as a 6'4", 6'5" James Williams at some point in the future for the Miami Hurricanes is absolutely crazy. And you just think about the athleticism that Miami's recruiting between, you know, obviously Williams, Cameron Kitchens, you know, like a lot of these guys that they're kind of bringing in. It's really, really crazy. And you're definitely starting to see the trend of what Miami Diaz wants for his types of defense.
Absolutely. I just the versatility, and you know, he's good against the run, and obviously his you know, has great hands with his experience playing receiver. So we have two spots left in the 2021 class. Who do you think are the biggest names to watch for, you know, with those last spots? And like who do you see the next guys committing for Miami? Not obviously you're not predicting anything, but who could you see?
Yes. Yeah, so a couple guys I could see just based on the way the recruitment's going. I mean, obviously everyone's going to point to a quarterback. I think that's the most notable absence from this 2021 class. You know, obviously very, very highly touted, a lot of blue chip guys, but you know, you're missing quarterback. So, I mean, everyone, the talk of the town has obviously been Jake Garcia. I know you're very familiar with what's been going on. I know you've been kind of spearheading that social media effort there, Marsh. But, I mean, Jake Garcia is obviously a guy to watch, you know, like, I think that there's some good things there, that the fact that Miami was aware of the move from California to Georgia before it was ever announced. You know, Rhett Lashley has definitely not, like, put the brakes on there. So I think Jake Garcia is obviously a name to watch there, despite the fact that he's committed to USC. I think the IMG Academy cornerback, Markevious Brown, who's actually playing tonight as well on ESPNU against Venice, Markevious Brown, he's definitely a name to watch. Definitely an intriguing prospect for me, just because, you know, he sat behind Elias Ricks and Legend Cavazos last year, hasn't gotten a whole lot of playing time, but is obviously somebody that this Miami staff likes, especially at cornerback. You know, how we all know how that boards end up shaking out. So I think everyone kind of wouldn't be surprised to see a cornerback land in there. I'm a big Amari Daniels fan. I think that he's just a super talented kid. It's one of those situations where it's just like, I mean, I don't really care how many running backs we have. I don't care that we have Thad Franklin committed. I mean, I just want a kid like that on my team. You know, I think that he's just a straight baller. You know, he's a kid that's shined in South Florida since he was a freshman. His success dates back to Pop Warner when he was in middle school. You know, this is a kid that just absolutely dominated since the second he stepped foot in major high school football down here at Miami Central, then at Jackson, and then now again at Central. So, I mean, Amari Daniels is a kid I'm really high on. I know Texas A&M's in there. I think Miami's still battling it out there. And then you got guys that, you know, you got like a Tyreek Sapp, who I think Miami's still pushing for. I spoke to him a few weeks ago over at a camp that crafting lineman Torian Wilson, who I know you guys had on the pod, he held the camp, and Tyreek Sapp was there, and he told me that Miami's been pushing him hard. He said he actually expects Miami to win the ACC this year, which was, so you can tell that there's some Miami love there from him. He actually had a UM wristband on, so I don't know what that's worth, but I know, you know, he's definitely talking to Miami. You know, another guy that Miami really hasn't given up on is University School offensive lineman Marcus Tate. You know, that's a kid that's committed to Clemson. Usually you're not seeing a lot of Clemson kids decommit or flip or anything like that, but we've actually seen it twice already this cycle, with Jordan Hancock, the corner out of Georgia, and with Corey Foreman, who's the number one overall player in the class. So if there was a year to flip someone from Clemson, I think this would be it. I think an impressive season from Miami. Not saying it's going to happen. It's very unlikely. Marcus Tate hasn't indicated that he's wavering from Clemson at all, but you never know with the way that Miami's been recruiting down here. So, you know, there's a couple different different names, a couple different directions to that this could potentially go. And I think it's important to remember also that, you know, the NCAA did like put out this legislation that no matter how many games these kids play, these student athletes play this year, they're going to be able to retain the year of eligibility. Who's to say that they don't pass that down a little bit and say, you know what, we're going to loosen up the scholarship restrictions for this class, and maybe Miami's able to kind of get out of that 24 spot and, you know, maybe able to flex that out a little bit more. And if that does happen, I think it could potentially get very interesting. And I also don't think that reality is impossible. I'm not saying that I've heard anything of that, but just kind of reading the tea leaves, I think that there's something there that, you know, could potentially happen down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely one thing to watch. I know a lot of people have been talking about that a lot. Switching over to the current Canes team. So the ACC media poll picked Miami sixth in the ACC to finish sixth in the ACC. What are your thoughts on that? I understand where they are coming from. I mean, they don't follow Miami football like we do. They don't know the impact of a guy like Rhett Lashley or De'Aaron King, but sixth is a little low for me. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, like, we're Miami fans, and you know, we're naturally gonna, like, obviously understand every little detail that Manny Diaz changed. We're seeing a lot of things up close. We're analyzing it daily. You know, a lot of these guys, while, you know, it is their job obviously to be paying attention, you know, it's hard to know how much they're actually looking at what's going on down here, and rather than just focusing on, you know, obviously, you know, I mean, let's say we're talking about, I'm just going to give an example. I'm talking about Nebraska football, and I look at their schedule and be like, oh, they lost their last three games, and two of them were to G5 teams. Yeah, they're going to go 5-8. You know, it's so easy for me to just come out and say that. So, I mean, I get people down being down on Miami, but, you know, I also understand that there has been a lot of things going on. I mean, you're seeing everything that's happened between you. I mean, you can go from De'Aaron King, you can go, you know, obviously Rhett Lashley. You know, I just think that there's a lot of things that have been done differently. I think Manny Diaz has shown a lot, and I think that there's going to be some improvement this year. I don't agree with six. Again, I get it. I obviously don't think Miami's going to finish six in the ACC. I just think, like, you know, not a lot of teams in the conference have a quarterback like De'Aaron King. Not a lot of teams in the conference have a defense the way Miami does. Like, they have Louisville rated ahead of us or picked ahead of us. And I mean, I get the intrigue with Louisville. I get, like, stuff about the offense, but let's not forget that, I mean, Louisville is a team that gave up 52 points to a Miami offense that honestly was pretty terrible last year. So I don't think Louisville's, like, even close defensively to where maybe the media kind of wants them to be. I just don't think they're going to be as good quite yet, just because I don't think they have the size. I don't think they have the bodies defensively. I think they're going to be able to score with anybody, but for, you know, I just feel like it's just a popular pick. I think that Miami's going to be more in, like, the 3-4 range. I think worst case is 5. I don't see them going any lower than that. I really just think that there's too many pieces, and, you know, barring any injuries, of course, I think 6th, 7th, and I saw someone even chose Miami to finish 8th in the conference. I think that's a little outlandish. I think that's just a little ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, all you got to do is just, they just got to show it.
Yeah, I coming off of last year, I totally understand where, like, the national media is coming from, but sixth, man, that just seems really, really low. I wanted to ask you about Louisville, because I have Miami going, I'm somewhere in between 9-2 and 8-3, and I have us losing to Clemson and Va Tech, and I am on the border of picking Louisville as a loss. Are you worried about that game at all, or are you pretty confident that Miami can go in there and get the dub?
I mean, I feel like you're always worried, you know, like, you know, obviously, yeah, like, you know, we've been watching Miami Hurricane football a long time, and, you know, there's always that game where, you know, they just, like, it, on the schedule, it looks like an easy win, and then you have Georgia Tech and Duke and FIU, and, you know, everything that happens. And you're kind of like, wow, like, there's no way to look at this. But I honestly feel like, you know, one, it's early in the season. I feel like Miami generally plays these games well early on. I mean, obviously, we saw what happened at North Carolina last year, the second game of the season. So, but that was coming off a big kind of heartbreaking Florida loss. I think that the UAB game should be a nice warm-up, especially for the offense. And I think that they should go in there, be stronger offensively than they were last year against a Louisville defense that's really not that much improved. And, you know, I think this defense is still good enough that, you know, they're going to be able to give Louisville problems. Yeah, you know, Tutu Atwell is going to get his. You know, he's going to be able to score. You know, Javion Hawkins is a solid running back. You know, Michael Cunningham is a good quarterback. You know, they definitely got some pieces, but I really don't see, like, I'm not, like, looking at this Louisville offense and, like, trembling, you know. Like, obviously they're good, but there's a lot of good offenses in the ACC, and, you know, yes, Louisville might be on the top upper half of it, but, yeah, I feel like we handled a pretty good North Carolina offense last year. I don't think that, I mean, apart from a few plays that was blown coverage by Bandy, and I think blown coverage by DJ Ivy, like, aside from those two plays, I think Miami did a really good job with that spread power attack. So, I mean, sure, like, it could easily be a game that comes down to the wire, but I really think Miami's offense against Louisville's defense is a much bigger mismatch than Louisville's offense versus our defense. Like, I really don't think that's very close.
Okay. So I want to go back to recruiting just a little bit, kind of mix those two topics. You said that Tyreek Sapp is expecting us to win the ACC championship this year. I know a lot of guys believe in Manny Diaz, probably to that extent or near it. How bad do you think our recruiting class is affected if we finish, let's say, fourth?
Fourth? I mean, if let's say we finish fourth, like you're saying, if we finish fourth in the ACC?
Correct.
Okay, if we finish fourth in the ACC, honestly, I feel like that kind of lines up with expectations. I don't think I think it would be slightly disappointing, like, in-house. But let's say if finishing fourth in the ACC is still, let's say, you finishing with 7 or 8 wins, I think you can kind of spin that. I think anyone can kind of spin that, considering everything of, oh, we're implementing a new offense, oh, COVID-19. I don't think it would be as detrimental to the recruiting class as some might think. I think if it's like, you know, we finish 8th and we win 4 games with De'Aaron King and Rhett Lashley, I think that's a different story. But I think if Miami's in that 7-8 win marker, I think that's just where they need to be able to kind of hold it all together. Maybe not add anybody great. Maybe not convince one of these guys. Let's say a Marcus Tate. Maybe even down the line a Jason Marshall, who was, you know, very close to deciding on Miami. Maybe like one of those guys down the road. Like, let's say Miami wins 10 games. Maybe you have an opportunity to sway there. You know, I think keeping it together, you know, just making like you still land James Williams, you still land Leonard Taylor, you keep this glue together with like that third fourth range. But I definitely wouldn't see like the sky falling if they didn't, let's say, if they fell right behind North Carolina, ahead of Virginia Tech, ahead of Pitt, ahead of Louisville. Like, you know, I don't think that would be too much of a problem, like long term. I don't think it's ideal, but I don't think it would be the end of the world.
Okay. And speaking of James Williams, I mean, how confident do you feel? I mean, do you feel like his recruitment will come back into play as the season is going, or is he a guy that has really locked it down?
He's never really seemed, at least to me, he's never really rubbed me as like the kind of like the drama guy. Like, I don't think he made that decision just to like say, oh, I'm committed to Miami. It seemed like it seemed kind of like a sure thing. You got to remember, he was just at Georgia like the weekend before he came down to visit Miami. Like, he could have very easily decided to commit to Georgia that day. And I mean, I honestly would have thought it would have been over there. But the fact that he went to Athens, came back and committed to Miami, I think that just shows where his heart really lies. I think that this is a kid that's really rock solid. I think he really just understood that this is where he wanted to be. And again, let's say Miami wins 3-4 games and Georgia, you know, puts it all together and, you know, competes for an SEC championship and has, let's say, a 10-win season, whatever it is that Georgia does, then, you know, I mean, obviously it can get interesting. I'm sure they're not just going to back off on him completely. But, I mean, I don't see James Williams departing from this class unless this gets really, really ugly.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting subplot to the Jamie Newman news, that he opted out of the this season for Georgia. You know, so yeah. They have to go with kind of an emergency plan B at quarterback. And, you know, I feel like that's great for us.
It is. In
terms of the James Williams recruitment, because now that's going to take a lot of pressure off in terms of, you know, they'll probably have a lot tougher battle with Florida for that SEC East now.
Yeah, and I obviously don't want Florida to win that, but on like just the way Georgia's kind of recruited down here, we saw with Tyson Campbell, you know, Kenny McIntosh, like Georgia's been able to do some damage here too. So if we can keep Georgia out of here, out of the South Florida, Tyreek Stevenson, of course, you know, if we can keep Georgia out of South Florida, like just keep them away from those guys by maybe a losing season, I think that would be big. But obviously the alternative, I guess, would be Florida winning it. So I guess it's kind of pick your poison there.
Let's all be Tennessee Volunteer fans for this season.
I'm down. I'm a big Jerry Pruitt guy, so I would not mind that.
Go Commodores.
Okay, so my last question for you, Gabby, is I wanted to ask you about the linebackers for Miami. Obviously, we know it's going to be a different change of pace with no Mike Pinkney, no Shaq Quarterman. Are you confident in a guy like Zach McLeod, who, you know, has been who didn't play that much last year, but obviously has starting experience in the past? And then guys like Avery Huff or Sam Brooks, or guys coming off injuries like Brad Jennings Jr. or Wayman Steed. How do you feel about the linebackers?
I'll tell you, I feel better now than I did like before the spring, before any of this. Like, I was going into the season like, what the heck is going to happen? But I mean, I'm not like thrilled about Zach McLeod being the guy, but what I am excited about is just the pure athleticism of the room. I think that's what's going to be really the difference between this year and last year. I mean, we talk about just being able to like keep up with these offenses. I love me some Shaq Quarterman, but I don't think it's a secret that he wasn't necessarily the fastest guy, wasn't necessarily the best in coverage. I think that, you know, there's going to be more of a group effort, more of kind of like a committee effort. And I think that's good for what this defense is doing, just because there is so many athletes. You have a Zach McLeod, you have a BJ Jennings, and I don't think BJ Jennings is bad. You know, obviously he's had to deal with some of those injuries, which have been unfortunate, but you know, last spring, this was a guy that was really emerging before he had that knee injury. So I think that he's a guy that knows the defense. I think he's a guy that's athletic, has a linebacker background. You know, Zach McLeod's obviously athletic. You have Sam Brooks, who looks physically great, and he has that speed, you know, coming from that defensive end position that he played in high school. Avery Huff is obviously a sideline to sideline guy. I think that a guy that I think is really going to be a key part of this defense moving forward. You know, I just think it's different. You know, I'm excited about what we're going to see from them against UAB. I'm excited to see how they kind of rotate these guys, how they choose to kind of move them around. And I think it's going to be fun. I think you're going to see a lot of new names there, obviously. I think that you're going to see a lot of athleticism, a lot of guys that fly to the ball. I think that it's going to be good. You know, there's, you know, what they say, they always say, you know, you got to compete. Like, competing brings the best out of everybody. And I think that's what those guys have been doing all camp. And, you know, again, like, there's no surefire guy. You're not looking at that linebacker room and be like, okay, this guy's a second or third rounder or first rounder or whatever this, or 4-year starter. Like, everyone going out there has something to prove. Everyone out there has to earn their reps. And I think that ultimately at the end of the day, that's probably going to benefit Miami's defense.
Cool. And then my last question for you, today, Kirk Herbstreit predicted Miami Hurricanes as one of his like sleeper picks for the college football playoff. I know, you know, as fans, I think we walk a tightrope between, you know, like being, like having our fan goggles on and predicting the team to be better than it is. And I think sometimes when we try to counter that, you know, it can have the opposite effect, right? We're kind of too hard and, you know, like overlook some upside. What do you think about that prediction? Do you see any legs to it? I mean, you've spent more time around the team than almost anyone.
I mean, I'm not sure if this is a college football playoff team. I just, you know, I do like the weapons that they have on offense, like with Brevin Jordan. I think Will Mallory's primed for a big year, but I just don't think at wideout there's enough experience. I don't think that there's enough guys quite yet as to, like, you know, where some of these teams where it's like, you know, let's say, I mean, just for the sake of conversation about speaking about a college football playoff, as compared to what Alabama has, like, you know, with Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, you know, you even go back to last year with Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs, and, like, you know, we don't have those types of weapons. The running back room, you're depending on a couple freshmen. The offensive line's coming off a season where, you know, they're probably the worst in the Power Five. And then defensively, I feel like, you know, you're losing your top edge rusher, you're losing 2 4-year starters, cornerbacks are a little bit unproven. I'm not sure if I'm ready to say college football playoff. I'm not saying it's impossible. I mean, I think if this team puts it together, I've said it before, like, I think if Miami comes out and plays their best football every Saturday, I'm really not sure that there's a team on the schedule outside of Clemson that beats them. And I mean that just because I think that there is so much firepower. But I just think on a national scale, when you compare like Ohio State, you compare, you know, Oklahoma, you know, even Georgia, like, you just look at the way that those guys have competed, the way that those guys have recruited. And, you know, Bud Elliott, who works with 24/7 Sports, has done like this whole like crazy like math with it, like this whole like, I don't know if it's an experiment or whatever it is, just a bunch of research with the teams in the college football playoff. And I'm sure both of you guys have heard of the blue chip ratio, which is every team that's pretty much competed in the college football playoff has been at least at the over the 50% line on the blue chip ratio. I don't think Miami's there yet. I mean, if they are, it's borderline at this point. And I just don't think that there's quite enough talent there yet to compete. I think that they could make some noise in the ACC. I honestly think that they could potentially compete for an ACC championship, again, if they come out and play their best brand of football every single Saturday. If that'll happen, obviously, generally with the Miami team, it doesn't. They tend to have those games where they kind of sleepwalk through it and ends up biting them. But I think talent-wise, I think, you know, with the quarterback, I think college football starts with the quarterback. I don't think it's impossible. I think it's extremely unlikely. But I just want to see this team compete. I really just want to see some tangible improvement from last year. I want to see them just, you know, play well. You know, they're recruiting at a level right now that they have to come out, you know, compete, play hard, win some big games. And, you know, things are really going to start shifting within these next few recruiting classes. So I think that, you know, having a good season could potentially next year, maybe even the year after or a couple years down the road, put them in a position to actually do that. And that's when I say do that, it's compete for a college football playoff.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Gabby, thank you so much, brother. We can always rely on you coming on. You are welcome on the show anytime. You know that. Tell your brother we said what up, man.
Absolutely.
And always much love.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
See ya.
See you, brother.
All right, should we get to our mailbag? It's always good hearing from Gabby.
I love that dude. I love him. Yep. Absolutely. Let's get to the mailbag.
All righty, let's take a look. So first question we got, what is our score prediction for UAB? Do you want to go? This is from our guy Manny, Mr. Honk Dizzle. And Manny, I know you lost your cousin a few weeks ago, man. Condolences. Thanks for always, being a good friend of the show and supporting us. So Marsh, what's your prediction for UAB?
First of all, yeah, condolences to you and your family, Manny. I know how tough that situation is. So I didn't get to watch the UAB game from last night yet. I'll probably do that at some point tomorrow. I just didn't feel like watching a game on ESPN5 or whatever it was. for the UAB game, I am going to go – I mean, they let up 35 points to Central Arkansas. I don't know how Central Arkansas scored that many points. I don't know if it was off defensive touchdowns. I know UAB turned the ball over 3 times. I'm going to go 38-16, Canes. Okay. I know that their quarterback is very turnover prone. He's shaky in his play, and I'm just very confident in our defensive line and their ability to pressure the quarterback and get to the quarterback. So I'm going to go 38-16. I just want to see points, man. I just want to see our offense click.
Yeah. I'm going to go 41-13. So we're in the same neighborhood.
Yeah. If we win 41-13, I will be so, so happy. I will be hugging you because I know we're watching the game together. I will be so happy. That would just be the opening statement kind of win that Miami needs.
Mm-hmm. Agreed, man. And that leads us into our next question from Polk Kane. He wants to know, how important is it that the Canes start off on the right foot on Thursday and set the tone for the season?
It's huge. It's huge, especially after the tumultuous and just hellish season that we went through last year. Just getting our guys' confidence back, not just on Green Tree, but on the actual, playing field. It's huge. Because you just have to remember how last year ended and with all the changes that we've made this off season. So it's going to be one of the more important season openers that we've had in a very long time. It's Manny Diaz's second season, and he has a lot of pressure riding on him going into his second year. Rhett Lashley coming into his first season as offensive coordinator. So I think a lot more is riding on this game than a lot of people think, just as a – not as like a win or lose kind of a thing, but just – we can't come out and have a game like we had against Central Michigan last season where we beat the Chippewas by only 5 points. We need to come out, and I want to see a pissed off Canes team that is still motivated from how last year ended. I want Louisiana Tech to be right there in the back of their minds, and I want that game to be motivating those guys on every single play. So It's huge. And if we can come out and just beat the hell out of the Blazers of UAB, then it'll make the players' confidence, it'll raise their confidence, and more importantly, almost just as important, ease the tension among the Canes fan base.
Yeah. Well, that leads me to a question that I've always wondered about is, so their name's the Blazers and they have a dragon as their mascot. Is his name Puff?
Puff the Magic Dragon?
Yeah. Of UAB.
like Meet the Parents?
Yep.
With the boy's magical Fokker? Dragon? You a pothead, Fokker?
Oh, man, what a great movie. I agree with exactly what you're saying, and you brought up pretty much all the reasons why I feel that way. We really need to use this game as an opportunity to, like, stomp out the memory of last season. We played three maybe we played more, but I think we only played three, like group five, you know, group of five or G5 opponents or whatever they're called, right? Mm-hmm. And we lost to two of them and really struggled against Central Michigan. You know, so this is our opportunity to come and like stomp UAB and just be like, this season's different. This team is different. We have a different mentality, and we need to win convincingly. I don't think a last second field goal is going to make me feel good, because I'll feel like it's the same team that we had last year.
Yeah.
We really need to have an authoritative, controlling victory where, I mean, we essentially just drag our nuts on their forehead. And, you know, we need to make a statement. We need to win by 28 points at least.
Yeah. I would feel so great if that's the case. So, I need to see a convincing victory. You know, not in doubt. I want to see us hit in our stride early. I don't want to be BSing our way through the first half and going into the locker room up by three or up by seven. Like, I want to, I want to beat the shit out of them.
We need to score three touchdowns in the first half.
100%. Well, I love that. I love that. That's a great prediction.
Half like 21-6 or 24-6 or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
The halftime 24-6, I'd be pumped.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next question is from Robert Hampton. So I'm gonna need you to take the lead on this one, because I'm still trying to learn all the names from. Oh wait, no, this is the class that I know. Okay, so he wants to know the big recruits to watch out for in the 2021 class. So that's the guys like James Williams, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then yeah, I can help out with this one too. But you go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's all the guys that Gabby just talked about. I mean, and he did an incredible job at doing that. I think the biggest ones to note right now are guys like Amari Daniels, running back out of Miami Central. Obviously, our guy Jake Garcia, who is currently committed to USC, but is, according to 247 and other reports, is talking to Miami almost on a weekly basis. So he's a name to know. Tyreek Sapp, the defensive lineman who Gabby talked about and talked with last week, who's committed to Florida. Marcus Tate, the offensive lineman who's committed to Clemson. I don't see him flipping. But you just like we've talked about all offseason, and just like Gabby talked about, just barely, you never know what can happen, if especially with Miami recruiting the way it is, and especially if we win in 2020, that changes everything. Those are the big names. Obviously, Markavius Brown, the 4-star cornerback out of IMG, I could see him. I could very well see him coming to Miami. I know that right now it's thought of as a battle between us and Virginia Tech right now. Markavius Brown's a guy that, you know, I've talked about him and Gabby just talked about him. He sat behind two players last year who are now playing Division I football. So this is really going to be his year to shine. And he has a ton of upside, just super athletic and, you know, the kind of cornerback that Miami needs, especially with, you know, the lack of depth that we have at that position. So I'd say that those are the biggest names to note of right now. Also, you know, you never know what could happen with Jaden Hood, who's committed to Michigan, the linebacker out of St. Thomas Aquinas. So there's a few big names to note right now. And I think that all Miami fans are aware of, you know, who they are. So yeah, that's my answer.
Which one of our guests was it that said that we need to be on Jacoby George watch if we have a great season?
No, I know it was Ja'Cory Brooks.
Oh yeah, that's what I meant. Yes, mm-hmm. Ja'Cory.
It was Kelvin Harris.
What was that?
It was Kelvin Harris.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. So
yeah, so that interview actually hasn't been published yet, just because we're having a lot of issues with the audio. But yeah, he said that, you know, we're going to be in play for Ja'Cory Brooks, who's a 5-star wide receiver, if we have a great season. So that could be massive.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, that would be just insane. That would be crazy. But as of right now, like, even if we didn't get him, I love our wide receivers right now. I love Jacoby George. Huge fan of Romello Brinson, and I'm the biggest Rashard Smith fan in the world. So if we were to land another wide receiver, like, it would have to be a guy like Ja'Cory Brooks. You know what I'm saying? Because he's honestly one of the only guys that's worth taking a fourth wide receiver for. Just because of how many true freshmen we have at wide receiver right now. And obviously Jeremiah Payton's a redshirt freshman, and we already have three guys committed at that position in the 2021 class as it is. So,
yeah, I just feel like he's a can't miss. Like, you know, he's in the mold of Jerry Jeudy, Amari Cooper, Julio Jones type of player. You know, all of the South Florida guys that Alabama always comes down to get. I feel like Ja'Cory Brooks isn't that far off from those guys.
Yeah, totally agree.
Okay, so I think we have one or two more questions. I think just one more. Kane's Empire wants to have
my
us.
Boy, run. My boy, Kane's Empire.
Yep. He wants us to run through the starting O-line and linebackers real quick. So go for it, Marsh. Give us the rundown.
So as of right now, I don't know if anything has changed. I know the Canes are holding a situational scrimmage tonight at Hard Rock. So it could change by tomorrow. But as of right now, this is what I know. This is the first team offensive line that they've ran in the two scrimmages. It's been John Campbell at left tackle, Usman Traore at left guard. Center is Corey Gaynor. Right guard is DJ Scaife, and right tackle is Jared Williams. The only position watch that I would look out for is left guard with Usman Traore. I really like him, and we've Kelvin Harris talked about him, and our guy Torian Wilson did a great job breaking him down. Yeah. I know that Ja'Kai Clark and Zion Nelson have gotten some reps at left guard. So, you know, any of those three guys I like. I really like Zion and Ja'Kai's athleticism. Usman seems great when it comes to run blocking. So, and then when it comes to linebacker, Zach McLeod is going to be one. And I would say either Avery Huff or Sam Brooks at the other linebacker. And I wanted to take note that I like how Gabby said – I thought of you when he said he wasn't thrilled with McLeod being the guy at linebacker. And I totally see where he's coming from, and I totally see where you're coming from when you talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, though, is, like, you have people that say that, like, Shaq and Pinckney sucked and that our linebackers are going to be better. And it's like, well, if they sucked, then why was it McLeod that got benched? You know, what does that say about McLeod if the two dudes that played over him, they sucked? So, I don't want to be come off as a hater and say that I don't, think he's any good or whatever. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I don't expect Zach McLeod to be, like, a tangible upgrade. I don't think that you're going to watch film on him and just be like, wow, our linebackers are so much better this year.
Yeah,
if Jack was slow and he sucked in coverage, then how did he still beat out Zach McLeod? That's what I want to know.
I know, man. Yeah, I mean, it's you and Gabby both brought up great points. I mean, he's not the guy that you go into the season saying, oh, thank God Zach McLeod's my starting linebacker. I'm confident that he'll be able – I think that he is going to have a better year this year than Pinckney and Cordman had last season just because – he's more athletic than Shaq was for sure. I mean, Shaq just – you could tell last year that he wasn't the quickest guy to the ball. And I'm really excited to watch Huff and Brooks play. But I'm telling Canes fans right now, don't be shocked if there's a few bumps at that position group early on. Like, don't be surprised because – It's not like we have incredible, starting experience at that position if you don't count Zach McLeod. So, yeah.
I will say though, if you're right and Zach McLeod does have, you know, if him and Huff or Brooks are better, then Manny Diaz and Blake Baker are going to have some explaining to do as to why these guys weren't playing last year. Because I'll be pretty bugged about that, man. Like, we need to be playing our best players. And if we were playing Shaq and Pinckney just because they were fourth-year seniors and, you know, the leaders on the defense, it's like, yeah, but if they weren't as good as the guys behind them, then you can't play them. And so, you know, there's going to be some explaining to do if our linebackers really are that much better. I'm not going to be very happy with the coaching if that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so another question came in. Do you want to answer that real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so this is from Team Arliss. Thank you for the question. He says, if we start out 3-0 and the offense puts up 30-plus a game, do you think our offense could put up some serious points against Clemson's secondary? They both lost safeties and a corner.
I don't know. Why not? Why not?
I think that is going to come down to our offensive line, because I know Clemson, I just did a preview for that game on State of the U. It should be dropping tomorrow. The strength of their defense is going to be the defensive line, and our offensive line, while I think it's going to be very much improved from last year, it's a whole different situation comparing them against like a team like UAB or Louisville against a team like Clemson. And yeah. So I think if our offensive line can protect De'Aaron King and, you know, open up holes for him running the football and Cam Harris running the football, I don't see us putting up over 30 against Clemson. This is going to make me sound like a hater again, but I'm just being honest. I think people are downgrading how good Clemson is, like, and how just experienced they are and how well coached they are. Like, they are a effing machine.
Yeah, well, I think you're forgetting that De'Aaron King went 8-5 last in his most recent full year of competition, Marsh.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean,
people are like, oh, we've got De'Aaron King, we're going 11-0. It's like, well, or 8-5.
Yeah, like this is Clemson. I just want us to be competitive.
Yeah.
Against Clemson, and that's I'm not gonna go into that game thinking, oh, okay, like the Canes are win, because I don't predict that we win that game. And honestly, like, if you do predict that we win that game, then I don't know. Like, I think we can all – I think the best prediction that we can all give for that game is to hope that we keep it competitive, that we go into the fourth quarter maybe in a one-possession game. I think you and I both predicted that we lose by two scores. If we lose by two scores, and if it's like that kind of game where Clemson scores another touchdown in the fourth quarter to pull away, then honestly, I will be happy with that. Yeah. Because like, what are you expecting, you know, yeah, against a team like Clemson, who's been in the college football playoff every year since 2015? Like,
yes,
we're not at that level. I just want to see how close or how far we are from that level, or how close we are to that level. That's the biggest. It's a measuring stick game. So
agreed. And you brought up one of the two matchups that I wanted to say was key, like positional group matchups. Their defensive line versus our offensive line. That is, you know, probably the biggest matchup for them in terms of how that game will be decided. And the other one is Trevor Lawrence versus our secondary, because we don't have a strong cornerback group. Our safeties group, while it has a ton of upside, is mediocre in terms of production. You know, they could have a breakout year, but I'm just going off what has happened in the past. Our safeties group is like, it's good, not great.
Yeah.
And you know, that could change, but I really think those are the two matchups that will decide the game. Is, you know, if we can if I don't know, if we can make it so that Trevor Lawrence isn't absolutely picking our secondary apart because he's an elite talent, and if we can protect De'Eriq King, then we might have a shot.
And also, I just thought about this. I know that the question said they lost both safeties and a corner. It's not like our wide receivers are really good either. So
exactly.
And
you know, I know they've lost a lot of talent at wide receiver. That's why I'm not, you know, that's why I'm not saying our receivers or their receivers versus our secondary. I think Lawrence is good enough that he can like throw people open, and that, you know, he's the type of quarterback that if it's open, he'll find it.
Yeah, and they still have Amari Rodgers at wide receiver. I know, you know, T. Higgins isn't there and Justin Ross won't be playing, but Amari Rodgers is still a very, very good wide receiver. But
Clemson, I mean, they're speaking of blue chip ratio, they're insane.
They set the bar, man.
And I still think they have that 5'8 white kid that's been playing for 31 years.
Hunter Renfro.
Yeah. Isn't he like a redshirt freshman this year now or something?
I swear, dude, he was on Clemson for like 10 years. But I think that's a good point. Like, just because they lost both safeties and a corner doesn't mean that advantage goes to us automatically. Because what the hell has Mark Pope done? And Jeremiah Payton has potential, but he hasn't done anything. Wiggins has flashed some plays. Mike Harley has flashed some plays, but I'm not going into the season as a whole, not even the Clemson game. I'm not going into the season as a whole overly confident or confident really in our wide receivers.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I mean, Mike Harley was, if you watch tape, he was pretty clearly our third most talented receiver, and he has the most experience coming back.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't bode well for this year.
No.
I don't like Mike Harley. I think he can have a good season. You know, people are saying he's a locker room leader and that he's had a good camp. I'm just saying, I think we're less talented at wide receiver than we were last year by quite a big margin. And our offense was terrible last season.
Well, especially when you look at starting experience and, you know, what they've done in the past. I mean, say what you want about Jeff Thomas, but he had 2 years of starting experience and making at least more plays than Mark Pope has coming into this year. And KJ Osborne had several years of starting experience and several, you know, production years. So I think a lot of it also has to do with our tight ends, what they're going to do. I think our offense is going to depend on Brevin and Will Mallory a lot this year. I think they can be our two most productive receivers.
They very easily could be. I actually think our receiving core is more set up as you know, we have a lot of like role player type guys. We don't really have an alpha in our receiving group right now. And that's just going to have to be Brevin.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know he's a tight end, but he's going to have to take control of that wide receivers group and just be like, I'm the dude, you know, like if it's 3rd and 9, you know, it's the ball's coming to me. And we all know it. You know, like Brevin's just going to have to take some ownership of the receiving core.
Yeah. 100%, man. 100%. Okay. Well, we appreciate all the questions that came in on such short notice.
Yeah.
And always appreciate Gabby coming on. Love you, dude.
Gabby's the greatest, man.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else we got to go over?
Nope. Oh, man. Sorry, I'm tired.
I got to get ready for this Heat game, man.
Yeah, well, you guys could go up 3-0.
I think we're going to lose tonight.
Yeah.
I don't think that we go up 3-0, but to the fact that we're up 2-0 right now, I mean, I'm on top of the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was very surprised. I wanted to wait until I watched him. You know, I know the Heat manhandled the Bucks in the regular season, but, I mean, dude, that rarely translates, you know, the matchups in the regular season rarely translate to look the same in the playoffs, but I mean, it has so far, And so once I saw
the playoffs are a different animal, man.
Yeah. Once I saw game one, I was like, oh no, this is horrible for Milwaukee. But I don't really have a prediction for tonight. I still think that Miami is firmly in control of the series and that, but you know, Giannis has won MVP twice in a row. So I think the most interesting storyline from this series now is we're going to see what Giannis is made of at this point in his career. Is he going to fight back and make it a 6-7 game series? Or is he just going to roll over?
Exactly.
If that happens.
Like what is that MVP? Like what is that MVP award doing for you right now?
Yeah. And, you know, he's dangerously close to being labeled as a James Harden type of guy because they disappointed in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's kind of like LeBron when his first after, you know, those first few years after they went to their first finals in 06 or 07, you know, when LeBron had incredible regular seasons in 08, 09, but couldn't get back to the finals. And then he left for Miami. So it's a similar situation, I think.
Yeah, I just hope Giannis doesn't go to Miami.
Look at Marsh talking some basketball.
Hey, someone tell Giannis that Salt Lake City has great Greek food and we even have like a little Greek town area. And you know what? Like everyone tells me it's the exact same as Greece. So come on down, Giannis. You'll feel at home. And, you know.
Exactly the same as Greece.
I mean, how desperate do I sound right now? Because.
Hey, I talk a lot of crap on Giannis on Twitter, but I will be the number one cheerleader if he comes to Miami.
Oh, he's such an incredible talent.
He's a freak, man. Like, just watching him, like, on a fast break, him bring down the ball, like, I'm like, my God. Like, how are you that big and move like that?
Well, he's like everything that he's everything we wanted Russell Westbrook to be. Because he's like Russell Westbrook, but he's like a foot taller and he's actually good at basketball.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah, it's should be fun. Okay, so we got game week coverage next week, man.
That's right. This week, man. 6 days away.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So I'm thinking we record on Tuesday, and maybe do a fit in like a Sunday night, but we can talk about that. But it's season coverage now, man. Like this is it. Like we're here.
Yeah, and then you know I think we are gonna push forward with trying to do the YouTube live for the game. We're still doing that, right? We're gonna stream me, you, and your brother just chilling on the couch.
Yeah, my brother might be out of the picture now, because he may go somewhere and watch both the Canes game and the Heat game. So, it'll probably just be us two. But whether it's streaming the whole game or maybe doing like a halftime report, but we're definitely going to do something with YouTube. And I think it's a good idea that we're. I want to start getting into maybe like one YouTube show a week. I don't like being on camera. That's my only thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you. It's iffy.
It's a little iffy, but,
I look like Grizzly Adams right now, so I need a haircut and a beard trim.
Bro, I look like I just I look like I've been through hell. Like, with how sick I've been and not sleeping because of how sick I've been, I look like hell. But I'm so excited for what's coming.
I'm gonna wear really, really short shorts though and show off some gains in my legs. They're bright as the sun, but you know what? It's gorgeous.
I'll wear some short shorts and show off my chicken legs.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. Thanks to Gabby and thank you to the mailbag questions. And until next time, go Canes.
Go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like.